We wait for some of you to awaken to your spiritual abilities and reach out to connect with us, to help us deliver to your people the message and ancient knowledge we have kept through the ages, concerning your origins, purpose and destiny, before it gets completely obliterated from your collective consciousness. We wait for enough of your people to act in togetherness and succeed in freeing the world from its ages-old bondage and curse, to transform your collective karma and evolve into a planetary civilization based on peace among species, in alignment with the divine law and cosmic order, to be rehabilitated in the Star Council with our eldest elders. We wish for some like you to come forward and speak for us to your people, to reawaken their collective memory, because your people is gifted with articulated speech and languages, unlike ours, but most of them have forgotten how to communicate through telepathy. There is nothing to prove about us, but our ancient living knowledge, carrying the same message as the Star Elders, is crucial to your next evolutionary quantum leap into a planetary civilization of peace within the divine law. When you reach that level of consciousness evolution, my people and yours will again be brothers, and our elders of the Star Council will return among us to re-establish the divine law of the cosmic order. But first, your people must remember that you are all brothers born from the same ancient star seeds, and that you were created as caretakers and protectors of all life forms on our home planet Mother Earth. Only later were you reprogrammed and manipulated by the alien lower lords, into serving an agenda of materialistic domination and control over all life forms on our home planet, with the disastrous consequences we have witnessed, caused by this disconnection from your spiritual soul and purpose. When your people will come to treat each other as equals and all life as important and sacred, they will start to be ready to reconnect with other two-leggeds, like my people and the Star Elders. You must drop the veil of illusion that has been raised over your souls, keeping you enslaved in a system running on fear, ignorance, scarcity, materialism, competition and conflict, serving only the control agenda of the fallen powers. My people can still wait without losing our knowledge, as we have never fallen under the domination of the lower lords. But for your people, it is an emergency that a growing number of you reconnects with the ancient knowledge and spiritual gifts they have forgotten, in order to readjust your collective destiny with the cosmic order, while it is still in your power. Otherwise, the ruling uncivilization that imposed itself over our Earth might end up succeeding in turning your evolutionary process on our home planet into a failure, by causing unrepairable damages and destruction, that could cause the abortion of this soul evolution experiment you have been part of. If your species fails in restoring the planetary peace and cosmic order on our home planet, it will mean that ours too has failed in watching over our younger brother and in guiding your people back into the Star Council, which my people has never left. We see that there is hope, as many of your people are now opening up their consciousness and reconnecting with their ancient knowledge of the divine law and cosmic order, originally brought on this home planet by the Council of Star Elders. But you must be aware that there are also many lies and deceptions put out by the lower lords, who try to be seen as the Star Elders and usurp the title of Earth Watchers, or Hakamim, while they have fallen from their duty, to become Nephilim, due to pride, arrogance, greed for power and selfishness. They use this tactic to be perceived as saviors and gods, and carry on their agenda for global control, through a centralized tyranny of their own, that they try to masquerade as the Council of Star Elders. They have encapsulated our home planet inside a control grid, keeping away the influence of the Star Elders protecting us, through constant warfare, the very backbone of their uncivilization. They have invaded the underworld where they conduct in secret their most detrimental and disruptive experiments for the evolution and balance of our home planet, including magnetic and genetic manipulations. The collective soul of your people has recognized increasingly the reality of their enslavement. But it must now act accordingly and change its ways and behaviors to free itself from this ages-old bondage. This is the last opportunity your people can grasp to end the slavery and re-establish the cosmic order, before the lower lords apply the next phase of their control agenda, which they are already mirroring to you, and modify once more your genetics by turning your species into biosynthetic cyborgs and artificial entities controlled by that technology. You might think that you still have years to go before being faced with this artificial remodeling, but one of your generations is only a short time for our people, as well as for the lower lords. The situation that your ancestors faced in the downfall of Atlantis is being replayed today, but on a much deeper scale, that may cause unrepairable damages to your genetics, evolution and destiny, if not stopped, and abort the soul evolution cosmic experiment you have been part of, with global destruction and mass extinction level event, as it happened in the days of Atlantis. Chapter 5. The ongoing destruction caused by the uncivilization of the lower lords, that your people has followed, has already reached a point of no return, that will undoubtedly lead the world towards unavoidable global cataclysms, cleansing and purge. The soul of Mother Earth itself, although compassionate, is asking for the end of this enslavement and destruction, and may speed up the purification process that has been engaged through actions and behaviors of the uncivilization that has been controlling you. Higher cosmic forces and spiritual powers may also intervene and transform the course of events. But it is your responsibility and duty to make sure that the ancient spiritual knowledge of your soul evolutionary process remains alive and is passed on to the generations of the future ages, so that they can remember the long road their ancestors have traveled since the origins, up to where they will stand. We don't know how far the agenda of the lower lords can be taken before reaching the breaking point that will upset the forces maintaining the balance on our home planet, which could likely bring another mass extinction level event. What we know is that the time is very short, as compared to the long road we have evolved on. This generation of your people is the one that has to make the changes needed. If no substantial improvement is made now, within the next of your generations your people who remain aligned with the divine law might once again find themselves escaping and hiding out for being hunted down, unless they succeed before then in turning the tide and restoring a planetary civilization based on peace and the cosmic order. That's why you must start now to get attuned with the powers of nature and the soul of Mother Earth, and to tap into the spiritual abilities that were encoded in your DNA through your original starseeds. There is no hope for a better world if you keep supporting and serving the system of the lower lords that has colonized and enslaved your people, destroying our home planet. You must deprive the lower lords of their power over you and withdraw your support in all forms to their enslaving system, recover the sovereignty of your soul, and redesign your ways of self-governance through your spiritual circles, aligned with the divine law and order. You must develop and adopt ways of ecological lifestyles and self-sustenance that are harmless for your environments and other life forms. Your planetary conscious civilization is growing like a garden, out of many different star seeds, that are united in purpose and will connect when ready into a greater unified force. We are here to assist you in this process of returning to the original balance of the cosmic law and reconnect with the star elders, to free our home planet of its ages-old enslavement by the control grid of the lower lords and the powers serving them. But we cannot accomplish this shift of consciousness for you, since our people has never submitted to their fallen rule and domination. It is your collective mission and responsibility to find your own balance and heal your own karmas. As your elder brothers, we stand by and watch, waiting for the suited circumstances to manifest, and the right time, synchronicity and convergence to arise, so we can join actively your awakening species in the physical form as well as in the spiritual realm, to help you on your quest and healing journey. In the meanwhile, we will keep selecting some of you who can hear our call and come forward as ambassador to our people, to interpret our message for those of your people who are ready to hear it. You are one of those who have been found able to deliver our message. Now that your soul has reached ours, you will feel our presence with you in spirit and we will maintain telepathic communications. You may experience manifestations of us through dreams, apparitions of images, whirlwinds and whispers, or meet more of our species. But since you don't need any more physical proofs of our existence and have connected with our soul, we will be by your side and keep watch over you wherever you go. This is the original connection we had with your early ancestors, that we wish to re-establish with your people again, once they have recovered their spiritual abilities and knowledge, and recognized us as their elder relatives and allies, in maintaining the divine law on our home planet. After delivering this message to me, Sasquatch left in the dark night, through the thick brush behind my tent, leaving a trail that I could see in the morning. All fear had left me. I rather felt a great joy and a profound serenity, and for my new ally, much respect, sympathy and a powerful spiritual connection. But at the same time, I was feeling a certain sadness about the way our human people has lost its spiritual ways and has treated our elder relatives, and felt overwhelmed by the tasks awaiting us ahead. The next night, I was expecting another visit, but felt he had gone far away, because other campers had arrived. While calling on his spirit, testing to confirm the connection he had promised, a whirlwind came around me and stopped by my side, and a friendly whisper was heard near my ear. The following night and the day after, as I was getting ready to leave, we exchanged vocal calls across the forest. The last one sounded and felt like a female greeting me, with higher pitch and tone, and a different voice. When I returned to our human world, I realized that I couldn't share these stories with just anyone. Most human people would take me for a liar or a nutcase, had they heard any of this. Then, on my way to the gathering in Lillooet, I met many natives. Sasquatch was mentioned by someone before I did. I soon found out that among the Snatimk and other BC native communities, Sasquatch stories are common and many have an uncle or a cousin who had encounters with him. At the indigenous gathering, everyone I shared with about my Sasquatch encounters was open and interested. So this made me understand that in some spiritual circles, teachings of this nature can be shared. This inspired and motivated me in sharing with this community these experiences and the knowledge they provided. Chapter 6. After this, I went up north, above the 56th parallel, some 300 kilometers from Yukon. The first day of mushroom picking in the deep bush, I came across a dozen of clear Sasquatch tracks, well printed into the charcoal soil. They were about 16 inches long, bigger than the ones I had seen on Vancouver Island, with a definite human foot shape with five round toes. I shared my discovery to a couple friends who brought it up at camp. The general reaction was the usual laughter and bare explanation, although another picker admitted having seen tracks as well. I succeeded in explaining that Sasquatch is a very well-known being in the stories of many native traditions, especially in BC. But I knew I couldn't mention anything about my encounters there, without being met with ridicule and seen as a weirdo. The next day, as I had walked kilometers in the burnt forest, Sasquatch showed himself to me in the physical form. I first heard a sound, like a mixture of gentle groans and mumbling. The closest sound I can compare it to, although it might seem funny for some, is the voice of Chewbacca in the Star Wars movies, and you can bet they took their idea from somewhere. I lifted up my head and looked towards where the voice was coming from. And there he was standing, some 200 feet from me, beyond the pile of uprooted trees, with nothing standing between us, so that we could exchange a clear visual contact. He was over 8 feet tall, with light brown long fur, taller and slender than the black one I had seen on Vancouver Island in 2003. Although impressed, I was filled with joy, like if meeting an old friend. He said in telepathy, "Here I am. I saw you found my tracks. So, you are the human who knows us?" Seeing I was without fear, he was puzzled and shyly crouched behind a big uprooted stump. I could see his face between the roots, observing me with curiosity, a sentient face coming from ancient ages, made of intelligence and sensibility, profound wisdom and deep instincts, strangely human and wild. Although he had a few centuries of age, he was not an ancient learned elder of his people, but he was a leader of his local clan. So I waved at him and started singing a gentle chant, knowing that they love soft music and chants from the heart. He had only been seen by a few humans in all his life, but all of them were afraid of him. Now he was meeting one who was a friend, what he found interesting, but strange, compared to the usual hunters or loggers he had seen. He wondered why I was coming with this wave of people picking all the mushrooms and invading his woods in an unprecedented manner. I couldn't pretend that I was gathering my meal nor wildcrafting, so I explained to him that we exchanged the mushrooms for money, so that later we could exchange the money in the human world, for other goods we need for our survival. He had already picked up this strange concept from reading the minds of the pickers. But what he couldn't figure out was why I was the only one of my people who could communicate face to face with him, but was doing the same thing as all the others. This had me ponder, then and afterwards. He finally told me that he was glad to talk with a human, but there was too many of my people invading his woods who couldn't relate with him, so he couldn't stay around in a visible form. And before I knew it, he had disappeared from my sight, suddenly vanished. That night, he came to me in dream and I saw clearly his face smiling over me and thanking me for the chant. The next day, I went in another area and found again some tracks, but a couple inches shorter, from another member of his family. The following day, I returned to the sector where I had encountered him. After a whole day of picking a modest harvest, I was getting ready to return to camp, as the long northern daylight was already dimming out, when I heard the same recognizable voice trying to mumble a shaky melody. After two or three attempts, I understood that he was asking me to sing again. So I started with a soft chant, to which he replied with a few joyful whoops. After my chant, he tried again a melody, sounding like a clumsy mixture of groans and howls. I did again a mellow chant and he tried to join with his vocal sounds. This amused me, as it felt like a sacred spiritual connection, which at the same time was also somewhat funny. I chanted the first line and stopped, and he tried to repeat it. We repeated the same exercise a few times, until he finally succeeded in howling the right notes in the right order, which made us both very happy. He explained to me that his species communicates through telepathy and has no need for words and speech, so individual Sasquatch don't have any specific names to designate their person. Being telepathic, they don't need to introduce themselves to each other, nor can they lie about themselves. But they use different vocals to express their emotions or communicate their location, either to their own people or to other species who can't communicate with telepathy. They can whisper, whistle, hum, mumble, moan, groan, growl, howl, woot, roar, scream and mimic certain animals and birds. But they have not developed a musical culture nor a tradition of songs among their people. The sacred chants and spiritual music of the humans is one of the things they appreciate, admire and miss the most from our people. Musical instruments are among the human inventions that they value above modern technology. He had known of these things from the greater soul of his species, but had not yet heard music himself or experienced prior conversation with any of our human people. As other means of communication, they also have glands that exude a pungent stench unbearable to most species, acting as a repellent for intruders. But they use those only in cases of danger, when they feel a threat, so I never got to smell their repellent scent, made famous through countless accounts. They can and have operated high technological devices and spacecrafts requiring logical understanding when in situations where their help was needed. But their species has not developed any technologies nor external material tools, neither have they developed artistic creation, culture, nor the ability to play music and sing, having no need to create tools and produce art, as they can project their thoughts. Their primal wildlife styles may seem raw and primitive for us humans, but their extended knowledge of the cosmic order through their telepathic connection with the greater soul of their species and their psychic abilities to project images and energies directly into the minds makes their intelligence greater than ours on some levels, while humans are gifted with speech, creativity, art, inventions and cultures. So when their people and our people were still connected, it was a beneficial exchange for both sides. As younger brothers, us humans can also contribute to the well-being of our elder brothers Sasquatch. We thanked each other for this conversation and, as he knew I was on my way out, he bid me farewell. He explained that he had remained invisible during this last meeting, as the woods around were getting invaded with some of my people who couldn't relate to him. So he couldn't remain around any longer as more pickers were moving into the area. But he said that we could always remain connected in spirit. Now that we were friends, he would recommend me through telepathy to the greater soul of the species. This last encounter made me understand how each individual Sasquatch has a different personality, that connects in its own way and on different levels with the greater soul of their species, like to a matrix binding them all. They don't have all the same experience, feelings and wisdom, but they all can access their collective knowledge through the greater soul of their species. It is comparable somehow to us humans tapping into the internet, to share news or learn what happens elsewhere, except that when Sasquatch connects with their mother soul, they can't lie or hide any intentions from their people. Their medicine is that of transparency and honesty. So this Sasquatch could see and know right away of my previous encounters, but he was more interested in communicating for the first time with a human on a friendly level, than in teaching me about their history that had been previously transmitted to me. The information that he shared with me about their people was adding various new elements to what I had already been taught, concerning their personalities, emotions and perceptions of the human species. It also instructed me on their love of spiritual music as one way to communicate, apart from telepathy. If you run into Sasquatch someday, do not deny, hide, or fear. Open your consciousness to the message their soul carries. And if you find nothing better to do, sing a loving spiritual chant from your heart. Our family of conscious two-leggeds and intelligent earthlings is far much wider, wiser, stronger and more ancient than it is generally believed in our young remodified cultures. We have some allies on this home planet, as well as in the heavens, who are willing to help and waiting for us to reconnect with our spiritual knowledge, to bring the changes needed in our healing process and restore the cosmic order. May all beings in all the worlds be free and happy. May we be united. We are all relatives. Chapter 7. Now that you have seen, heard and felt more evidences of our existence than you can report, you know who we are and how we are connected. On the same level, because you have interacted peacefully with some of ours, the greater soul of our species now knows you and is connected to you. The message of my people is not one of the mind, but one of the soul, inspired by the heart. We do not play on words nor elaborate sophisticated rhetorics to express ourselves, but project directly the images of our thoughts into the soul who are ready to communicate in this way. The greatest intelligence is the intelligence of the heart, seat of the soul and strongest source of magnetism in our beings. It allows telepathic communications on the etheric level, as well as astral projection and real empathy. Through the heart we can feel what other beings feel and know natural compassion. Telepathic connection is not through the mind, but through the soul. Touching the collective soul with consciousness has more powerful effects than reaching the collective mind with ideas. It leaves better results for the evolution. The soul feels through the heart and can sense what other beings feel, animals, plants, stones or other forms of life. Every sentient being can communicate this way and understand one another in a telepathic way, without recourse to articulated speech, any wordings or formulas, except when the mind clouds the perceptions, limiting consciousness to a calculable, tangible, explainable equation. My people, like the animals, have kept this universal ability to communicate through the soul, that most of your people have lost, partially or completely. We have not developed complicated grammar or syntax rules, nor a large diversity of vocabulary or spoken languages, nor devised anything of technological complexity, like your people have in their ever-changing creative evolution. But we have kept our natural ability to hear the souls of all living beings and of our home planet, Mother Earth. My people, like all sentient beings, can feel the same emotions that your people can feel, but over different reasons. Because we still hear the emotions of other living beings and of Mother Earth, we feel empathy. We can feel the joy of the butterfly in the flower, the pride of the salmon jumping the falls, the confidence of the pack of wolves, the exaltation of the soaring eagle, the serenity of the oak. But we also feel the cry of the ones in pain, dying and suffering from diseases and poisons introduced by your people and imposed on all life forms on this home planet we were given to share, decimating species and ecosystems at a dramatic extermination rate. We hear the pains and cries when the sounds of your polluting engines tear down the natural harmony of our wilderness, or when your machinery rips apart the sacred grounds, breaks the rock, cuts the wailing trees, pierces or drills the underground. We hear the pain of the water beings, who wash ashore by the millions, choke or mutate because of the activities of your human people and the legacy of death that the uncivilization enslaving your people has left our home planet with. We hear the pain of your own human people who cry in vain for help, as they die in genocides, suffer or seek refuge from the evils done to them by their own human brothers. Complex mind ideologies backed by sophisticated rhetorics can blind the soul and silence the heart, causing much harm to natural harmony and other beings. The human people must reconnect through the intelligence of the heart with the wisdom of the soul, and feel the empathy and compassion for all. They must listen to the voices of the other souls with their heart. If they do, they will like us hear the cries of pain and know it is so unbearable, that all violence and destruction must be stopped at once. If you think this is idealistic and unrealistic, ask yourself how long your uncivilization can still sustain itself with your growing populations. And then remember how long my people have been here watching over our younger brother. We hope to still share this home planet with you for many aeons to come. Chapter 8. At this time, my people is reaching out to reconnect to your human people, to bring the message that only a civilization of the soul is sustainable, and it will outlast many uncivilizations of the mind, that are unsustainable, limited to a materialistic explanation of the universe surrounding them, rather than a holistic understanding of our interconnection, through communion with the omniverse every living entity is part of. Only through empathy and compassion can an intelligent species continue to evolve. Domination only leads to chaos, sufferings and pains, and ultimately to death and self-destruction. This last season, we have witnessed vast areas of our last pristine homelands being burnt to ashes across the western mountains and the northern forests of this continent you call North America. This is not due to natural phenomena, but is part of a larger concerted efforts and secret project of the lower powers to exterminate what is left of my people, before any attempt to contact your species succeeds. You now discover that many of your human people have been contacted by us to deliver our message, and you will hear more and more about us through those who have opened their soul to ours, because the urgency for our message to be heard and remembered by your human people is critical. You now need to change your consciousness to higher levels of understanding, tune the mind with the heart and reconnect with your individual soul first, to be able to commune with the greater soul of your species and other souls, not through thinking, but through feeling, in order to recover your divine essence. Your ancient wisdom encoded in the star seeds of your DNA can re-emerge this way from the depth of your soul, because your soul can remember about your long evolution, what your mind doesn't. That is why the lower lords have kept you in your minds, to disconnect you from your souls, with the results that your societies have gradually lost connection and empathy towards other forms of life and even from your own kin, which is the cause of most of all problems we now know on this home planet, and it is the reason why they have waged a secret war on my people since the downfall of Atlantis. My people have always been part, closely or from afar, of the history of your people, since we have assisted and watched over your conception and growth with our star elders. Many of your ancient sacred scriptures and ancestral legends speak of us, as well as evidences of our presence in your most ancient sacred sites, But since the downfall of Atlantis, when the lower lords conducted detrimental experiments on the genetics of our home planet, including on some of your and some of my people, your collective memory has lost contact with us, while the secret genocide continues in the shadows. The story of creation written in one of your most ancient book, known as the Popol Vuh of the Maya, tells how the sky gods, as they are called, created different races of people before yours. The last one being the monkey or ape people, as my species is known to them.